welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name is Adam Cook. We're back every Wednesday. Just in case you're listening for the very first time, I'm just going to tell you, every Wednesday there's a goddamn video game podcast. And this week, Nicola Ardron's here. How are you, Nicola? Did you like the aggressive introduction?
Was very aggressive today. I was just wondering what's got your dander up.
I mean, honestly, it's just a little bit warmer in here than I would like, and that's enough sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's very true. But yes, I'm very well, thank you. Happy to be here.
Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. Got so many games to talk about. So many that we kicked Chris White off the podcast. We told Gary Bailey, you're in the caravan for a week, you're not coming. Adam Carroll wasn't allowed back in Ireland for some reason that we can't get into. So we decided to bring back an old friend. Ryan Sandra Sandre, who has not been heard on this podcast for, well, how long, Ryan?
About 5 years, maybe? Five?
Is that all? Is,
I know.
Is it really?
I know.
Holy shit. Actually,
it's been a very long time.
Yeah. How are you, mate? I haven't spoken to you in them 5 years, so just, you know.
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm just exactly as well as you are as well yourself. Nicola, I couldn't remember if you'd even met Ryan, and you know each other. Yeah. This isn't awkward. Yeah. Like, this isn't the introduction.
No,
we're very familiar.
What did we used to play, Ryan? We played a bit of Siege and Overwatch.
Siege.
Do you remember those days on Overwatch where we literally had six people? Was it, I can't even remember how many people were in that game. It's six, isn't it?
Yeah.
But we literally had to rotate people out when people were leaving for the evening. It was like someone had been waiting to jump in.
I know.
God, those were the days, weren't they?
Very rare these days. Yeah. And it was good times. Good times.
It was. It was great times. I remember sitting there in the summer with a bad back and a fan, many ciders. And like I say, we were just... Yeah, those were the days.
But we've got a pod. Overwatch
is great. Overwatch is great. You know, the rumours of Overwatch 2, and I told my son, who loves that game, like you wouldn't believe, and he just looked at me and goes, well, what would it be? And I said, well, the rumours are it's going to be like a PvE, and his face said more than many words he wasn't allowed to say in front of me could ever say. So if you're listening, Blizzard, you know, just, I don't know, whatever, really, do what you want, because people will buy it. We have got to talk about some video games. Nicola and I have got nothing, really.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing. Got games, we can't talk about them yet. But yeah,
I mean,
nothing.
I sat looking. Go on.
I do have Terraria on the Switch.
The hottest of the hot new games.
Yes, the hottest of the hot game released in 2015 or whenever it was. But it's on Switch.
Well, like everything is now, I suppose.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
No, I was just going to say all I've done is now and again I look at the Game Pass app and I look at the games that I have played. Like currently on there, Batman Arkham Knight, I think.
Yes, yeah, just came on.
Which I remember giving a 10 out of 10. Stand by that. Still love that game. And thought I could just play that again on Xbox because I played it on PS4. And then I think the other one was Shadow of War, which is a decent game as well. And again, I thought I could just play that, but I haven't. So luckily, Ryan's here, and he's played a fairly recent game in The Sinking City, mate.
Yeah, pretty recent. Only came out 2 or 3 weeks ago now, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Like, you're probably familiar with the Frogwares games, like the Sherlock Holmes ones that were...
I'm not, if I'm honest. Well, I mean, I'm familiar with them existing. I don't know about Nicola, but I don't think I've played any of them.
Same, Adam. I know that they exist. I've not played them.
They've always had a slightly janky charm to them. Like, the original ones were like, you used to go into Morrison's and find them for a tenner in like a little thing on the edge of the aisle. And
that Morrison's, for our USA listeners, is a supermarket, by the way.
Yeah. And not paid for advertising.
No. Not sponsored, hashtag.
No. But so the original ones were kind of that. And then when Steam came along and everything, they kind of got a bit bigger. And obviously digital distribution kind of helped with that. And then they started releasing them on console, start of this generation, almost at the end. There was a Sherlock Holmes versus Jack the Ripper one that I didn't play on like Xbox 360. And then they released a few on the PS4, which are actually really good detective games. They kind of filled that little gap that LA Noire had left. But they always had a little bit of jank. Like famously in one of them, Watson didn't have any AI, so he just moved when you weren't looking at him. Which made him like a weeping angel kind of figure.
So there's a developer, I can't remember who they are under, but there's a developer that Mick Fraser really likes. And he always says that this developer, that the game idea is always good, but they never quite get there. And he always gets super excited when, I wish I could remember the bloody name of him, but this developer, every time they have a new game coming up, he's like, oh, this is the one where they finally do it, and they don't. whatever that developer's name is, this is not helpful. Is this, are they, Frogwares your version of that?
I think so. Like, I really like the Sherlock Holmes games, and when the
spiders, spiders.
Spiders, another French one, I think. Frogwares.
Yeah, they always get close, he says, but never. Yeah. So they're your spiders.
I think so. It's like any studio that's published by like Future, it's always kind of, oh, that's a really good idea, and then it doesn't really come out. And this one, although it's published by Big Ben, I think, kind of fills.
Yes, that's right.
Sits into that as well. Like, the Call of Cthulhu game that came out last year was pretty good. It wasn't great.
And was that last year?
Yeah, I think. Oh, it was last year or like the very beginning of this year.
Can I just interject here? Because I heard you say Call of Cthulhu. Mm-hmm. I say Call of Cthulhu.
Oh, I
do too.
I'm definitely not the leading expert on how you should pronounce
it. I just wondered whether I'd like been pronouncing it incorrectly all these years. I just don't know.
I don't know. I've always said Cthulhu, but I mean, I'm sure the listeners will tell me I was saying it wrong. But
I mean, we're probably all saying it wrong. Let's be honest. It's not really a word, is it? It's a made up word, isn't it? Well, yes. Let's not get into if all words are made up. I've just realised what I've said. Moving on.
But anyway, so the Call of Cthulhu game came out in whenever it was last year or the start of this year, and this is kind of their answer to it. This one's more of an open world. It's not Lovecraft based like Call of Cthulhu was, but it's extremely heavily influenced by it, which, you know, is all right. I mean, Lovecraft stuff has never really been my exact cup of tea, but it's an interesting concept. And you're basically in the sinking city. It's a kind of you're set in a city which is unsurprisingly flooding.
Is it sinking?
It is. It's they've experienced a sort of catastrophic supernatural flood. And it's kind of cut them off from the rest of Massachusetts. And you kind of don't know what's going on there. And then you just rock up as a PI who was formerly in the Navy as a diver. And he's kind of been having nightmares for a while. So he goes to this island, or the sinking city that's become an island. And you kind of just get to know the locals and get to know what's going on there. And a fuckload is going on, let's put it that way.
Is Cthulhu lore or whatever, Lovecraft and stuff, is it rooted in there has to be a detective, a kind of drunkard downer or down and out kind of detective? Because, like, you're kind of describing Call of Cthulhu, which, by the way, was 30th of October last year, which is mental because I would have sworn that was this year. But that game I played and you're, like, that was a first person. They are, okay. Because like, that one looked... I played that on PS4, and that was one of the ugliest games I've played on that console, which is, doesn't mean the game's bad, but like I just... You're sort of evoking the memory of that and making me sort of go, do you know what I mean? But I know, obviously, from speaking to you, you really like this game.
Yes, The Sinking City is very good. It's kind of a bit like Vampire that came out.
Okay, so that was a good game. I was about to ask you that, Ryan. I was about to ask you that very question, because what you kind of described sounds a little bit like what you do in Vampire, doesn't it? Where you kind of go to an area and you like speak to folk to find out what's going on. Yeah. And from that, build a picture.
I really liked Vampire. Or Vampire. Same. I don't know how to pronounce it.
It's Vampire, but you've got to roll your R's, which I did on the podcast.
Vampire.
Yeah, like I'm not going through that again.
But I really liked Vampire, so this kind of reminded me of it. And it is kind of a mix of the two games. It's got a bit of the detective work of Call of Cthulhu, which was probably the best bit of Call of Cthulhu. And it's got a bit of the open world, exploring what's going on kind of situation that you had in Vampire. But there's a few things that kind of let it down. You mentioned Call of Cthulhu didn't run very well and looked really bad.
It just looked really ropey.
The Sinking City has a lot of those issues too, especially on console. Like, I played it on the Xbox. Mm. It doesn't have any 1X compatibility or anything like that. It's just standard, which is quite unusual, to be fair. And it just judders. Like, there's moments when you're running through the city and it'll just judder. Mm. And it's really off-putting, particularly on like a 1X. You're not used to it anymore. And it's a bit off-putting, and kind of you'll occasionally see people just spawn out from behind the car, and it won't be just like one person, it'll be like 10 of them, and they all look vaguely similar, and they've all just spawned behind the car that's right in front of you, that doesn't lead anywhere else, there's nothing behind it. So it's a really good game, but you can't ignore the limitations of it. Like, clearly, it's an ambitious game. It took a lot longer than I expected as well. Like, I played it for about 20 to 30 hours, which I wasn't really expecting.
Yeah, like PJ reviewed it on PC for us, and when I sent him the code, I kind of thought it was like a, you know, a more concise 9 to 10 hour story game.
Yeah.
And then he sort of come back after a few days and was like, this is, by the way, this is ridiculously big. Like, really?
It's a very
I wasn't expecting game. Is this like a double A game? You know, is this the return of the double A, this sort of game?
I think it is, yeah. I think it's one of those sort of games where it's a bit higher budget than your regular indie, and it has a lot of ambitious indie ideas, but it doesn't quite get to the polish or
It definitely sounds like Vampyr, because that's pretty much my feelings of what I've played of Vampyr, that it's got some fantastic ideas, but it's a bit kind of janky and not quite realised.
The Vampyr is better because in terms of like combat, the combat is much more enjoyable in Vampyr than it is in this game.
Yeah.
This game, the combat is bloody atrocious. Like,
that's what Mick Fraser said about it, actually.
You don't have to do it that often, so it's okay. But when you are called upon to shoot something or whatever, and there's a lot of guns in the game and you unlock those through the story, which is kind of weird as well. But it's just really janky, and it kind of there's no weight to any of the guns. They all feel about the same.
Hate that.
Enemies just still clip through the walls and stuff. It's kind of a bit. It's not the most enjoyable bit. And if it was a game that was purely combat based, I probably wouldn't recommend it to anyone. But the detective aspect of it, and the sort of story and the lore, it's actually really interesting. I kind of really got into it after a while. Which kind of doesn't help when you get further into the story, because you're about 20 hours in. If you don't do any of the side quests, which are all quite samey, go here, pick up this, investigate that.
I was thinking about side quests recently, because it's something that's been playing on my mind for a while now. Like, a lot of side quests, I think it has to be, I don't know if it's it could definitely be this, but I feel like it has to be publisher-led. Like, they must say, make your 10-hour game 30 hours, because I sometimes think about these side quests, and if I were to ask either of you, what's a game where the side quests really stand out, do you think you could name 5 or 10? Because if you took them out and made it a 10-hour game, would that not make the game overall better? Right, you might think, I'm only going to play it for 10 hours, but
I can only think of 2 games.
I enjoy doing everything in Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yes. Right, so the side quests in The Witcher 3.
Yeah, that's the awesome
phenomenal.
Yeah.
Some of the side quests in Assassin's Creed Odyssey were great.
Yes,
really good fun.
I never got through that enough to know, but I've trusted
really
that.
Really good fun. Some of the side stuff you do in like a Bethesda RPG are usually pretty fun as well.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking of Spider-Man. Like, I 100%ed that, but definitely not good side quests.
Rubbish. Yeah. They were rubbish filler, old school filler, those, weren't they?
Yeah,
but
yeah, like Fallout 3 and 4 and New Vegas, they had great side quest stuff as well.
I mean, having played it recently, Dishonored 2, not side quests, but alternate objectives kind of thing that make you play differently. I think I'm personally a bit burnt out on these enormous open worldy games at the moment. I'm hoping Watch Dogs, and he said 3, but Legion is for me, because I love that. I love Watch Dogs 2 so much, and I'm hoping. I mean, everything about, I don't know why we're talking about Watch Dogs Legion, but I will say everything about that game looks amazing to me, except for I worry it's going to be a bit dreary. But you know, how do you know, you got to tell
it's
a story?
It's in post Brexit Britain, isn't it? It's bound
to
be dreary.
So it will be dreary,
But it's not political. Okay.
It's not definitely not, game. Because it's games not aren't ever political. Like that is, just, you know, this, is the Sinking City political? I suspect maybe it is.
There's a big,
but it can't be.
There's a big disclaimer at the start of the game saying that it talks about differences in race and prejudices that were present in the works of Lovecraft that they've kind of recreated for this because it's true to the time.
Yeah,
there is an element of there's a race of people who are basically fish, half fish, half human, and there's a lot of prejudice against those. So I would say it is like political.
And I always find that discussion quite amusing, because I think it's someone at the top, the money men, who are saying, don't you dare say you're one side or the other, which I totally get from a business perspective, but you're not telling me that someone who writes stories for a living is apolitical. Just don't buy it.
Yeah. I think it's impossible for a game to be apolitical, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Unless it's like a FIFA game, and even then, arguably.
You've got the politics of buying and selling players, Ryan.
I know.
But actually, you know, all joking aside, I would say the fact that they chose a black protagonist for the FIFA story is inherently a political choice. Let's not get into this. I don't know why I said
that's a dangerous tangent.
It's just not. But you know what I'm saying? Like they could have chose anyone, and they specifically went that route, which is a great thing to do. But I wonder if there's some pissed off white dude who won't play FIFA anymore because of that. In fact, I hope there's some pissed off white dude somewhere who won't play FIFA anymore because of that. But The Sinking City is a good game.
It is good. Like if I was reviewing it, maybe 6 or 7.
Okay, decent.
It's a good 6, but it does have those issues. And by the end, you kind of just want it to be done because it is a very long game. But it was enjoyable when I enjoyed it. And I even paid £50 for it from Game because I couldn't find it anywhere else. So that's how interested I was in it. And I don't feel like, well, paying £50 for any game is a lot of money. But
I'm gonna say,
I don't feel like I got
splashing the cash there, Ryan.
I don't feel like I got ripped off buying it. So that was good.
that's a good sign.
Yeah, that's a good sign.
So there's another game you've been playing.
Yes.
And I am very because I haven't thought about this game. Apart from when it updates on my PS4. And I haven't talked to anyone about it since it came out. And
I don't think many people have thought about it or spoke about it.
For a Sony game, it kind of came and went. And I've been vocal on this podcast about my feelings about it. But what do you think of Days Gone?
When Days Gone was announced, I wasn't too keen on the idea. It was like, I thought it was a genre that we've seen many times before.
Oh, yes.
And a kind of story that even Sony themselves have done probably better. Mm. But so I didn't pick it up at release, and I picked it up a few months later for, I think it was about £30 or something. But I've actually really enjoyed my time with it. I was surprised how much I liked it.
How far in are you? Hours-wise, I should say. Like, if you were to put a number on it.
10 to 15, I want to say.
Okay.
So I've seen a lot of the map now, been to a bunch of camps.
How many camps can you remember? I'm not trying to pin you down, but it's still new enough. I don't want to spoil it.
No, I've been to 3 camps.
You've been to 3 camps. Okay, all right. Okay, so you're past the point then where I was like, I'm done. I think
probably, yes.
Because I got to the third camp. Oh, the third camp was. Yeah, I think it's the really really big camp.
The camp on the lake is the third one.
Yeah, where you have to sort of sneak back in.
Yeah.
For the first. Yeah. Okay, that was. It was shortly after, about a few hours after there. I was done. But so you're allowed to like it.
Yeah, I am enjoying it. I wasn't sure what to make of it because obviously it's another open world game and we're kind of, and it's a post apocalyptic game which I had a lot of. Mm. I think the most interesting thing for me has been some of the mechanics that really put me off it before I bought it. Are actually working in my favour. I think they were quite good. The main one being that your bike runs out of fuel. Because I think, on the one hand, that's a really irritating thing, because you're like, I just want to explore the map, and I've got to plan my route and everything. And I've got to make sure that I have fuel with me, and I've got to buy it, or I've got to find it in a can or whatever. But I think that aspect of running out, having your main source of transportation constantly running out of a resource, it's actually a really good thing in terms of making sure that you actually explore the land you're going through, because I have to make sure that whenever I'm going somewhere across the map, not even with fast travel, because obviously that uses fuel as well, which is a really good thing because it stops you from just using fast travel constantly. When you're constantly running out of fuel trying to get somewhere, you explore the areas in between where you're starting from and your destination a lot more, because you're looking for fuel, you're looking for stuff and bandages, you're looking for that. I think that actually kind of helps it rather than hinders it, because you're not just sat there pressing a button and following the GPS. You actually have to think about it. You have to think about where you're going. Is there anything on the way? Is there a Nero base? Is there anything like that so I can get supplies? I think that's actually a really good idea.
Anything I would counter that with is I don't think it would be an unfair concession to request them to allow you, if you do find a fuel tank, well, you will find a fuel tank, there's lots of them. There's loads of them. But you fill up your tank, and then if there's half a tank left of it, you could just clip that to your bike somewhere. I don't think that would be an unfair thing to... It just... I don't know, I've never spoke to you about this, but there's a lot about that fuel mechanic that frustrates me. Like, if you go into... I've said apologies to listeners, but I haven't had a chance to speak to you about this, but like if you go into a story mission, like suddenly the fuel tank's irrelevant because they don't want you to fail out during the story.
Yeah,
and it's so, like to me that feels, it's still, the more I think about it, it feels like a decision they made because they knew that that fuel mechanic was a bit frustrating for some people.
I think that one's probably more just the user has no, well, the player has no idea that the mission they're about to go into may involve chasing something across the map.
But that's what I'm saying. My argument would be then they've not designed the game around a central idea. They've had, it's been, I mean, it's very obvious by the mechanics of this game. There's a lot of different ideas, different people.
Yeah.
I would be intrigued. I would almost like to sort of wipe my memory of the game because it's been patched a lot. Like every time I turn my PS4 on, that game's to be been patched. And one of the things that, while obviously it doesn't change a game from like a 6 to a 10, it does affect a game when they remove bugs, when they improve things. And this game's been patched a lot, and it was very buggy.
I've not really noticed any bugs in the time.
That's what I was wondering. So that's going to definitely enhance your experience of it, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's maybe been occasional frame drops when there's a horde. Yeah. Kicking about.
Are you on pro or?
Yeah, I'm on the pro. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't notice much in terms of frame rate. In fairness, that was one thing it was pretty good at.
Yeah,
it's got a photo mode, doesn't it?
It does. It's gone. Yes, it does.
I know Ryan gets mad at me for photo modes.
I don't get mad at you.
But
would you really want to? I mean, I know you haven't played it, but Ryan has. I have. I'm not sure there's. I mean, what would you take photos of in this? It's a decent looking game, but like I saw people going like, "Oh, this is one of the best looking PS4 games." I'm like, "Fucking, have you played Horizon Zero Dawn, lads? Because that's a good looking game. Like that game was years ago now, and it's still one of my favourite looking games on the console."
I think Days Gone's quite a good looking game, but it's not like you don't see a lot of things where you'd be like, "Oh, I need a photo of that."
Yeah.
It's just
but you guys don't like taking photos in games anyway.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
Neither of you do.
That's true.
No, that's fair. Totally a fair point.
The only captures I take are stuff that make me laugh, which is glitches and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I'm liking it. I was surprised how much I'm liking it.
That's how I started with it. Like I was like really shocked. Like, oh, I really like this, but it just wore thin.
Yeah,
for me,
I've heard it's a very long game, so we'll see how I get on with it. Because obviously, Rage 2, I really like that game as well, which I've not spoke about.
Okay,
to you. Before.
Yeah, I mean, I keep thinking about trying that again as well, but like,
Oh, I want to play that.
I enjoyed it. It was fine. Like, it wasn't the best game I've ever played, but it was an enjoyable game, and I didn't.
Sorry, go on, mate. Go on.
The gun mechanics in that were incredible, and that kind of made the game for it.
What ruined it for me is that from the I think I fell into the marketing trap. I thought what I was getting was kind of Doom, and it's not. It's not Doom.
It's not.
I really wanted that because I've said on the podcast before that Doom 2016 is one of my favorite shooters of all time.
Yeah,
I think that game is
it's
unreal.
It's what a game.
It's more like the game that Avalanche made a while ago, Mad Max. It's a lot like Mad Max, but it plays better and it's a bit quicker.
I've got that on my list to play as well. Oh my god! Why
I,
come
I
on this
personally,
pod?
I personally prefer to play Mad Max because right. and I the only reason I would say I think you'd agree with me, Nicola, is because I think you like first person shooters a lot, like what we all do actually, but you like the kind of Titanfall, the Doom more than most. As do I, and I think. You'd prefer Mad Max because it's third person, whereas this feels like a first, like you say, Ryan says it's first person game, but it is very Mad Max, and the maps are, well, again, a game that keeps being updated, and I wonder if that's.
I really enjoyed the first Rage, in fairness.
I preferred the first Rage to what I played of this.
What I've seen of it, though, it looks a bit like there's some trick shots going on, which I kind of like the idea of. You know, what was that? What was that game that had loads of trick shots?
Bulletstorm.
Yeah, reminded me a little bit of that.
There's an element of that. It's not as overt as in Bulletstorm where you get points for kicking people into cactuses and stuff.
But that's kind of the problem I had with it. The marketing made it look like that. Like it's not really I think I said it on the pod. Like that, the game they advertise kind of doesn't exist yet. Well, it's not this game. But this game, I don't think Rage 2 was bad. But you've also been playing, speaking of sort of sweary, obnoxious characters and shooting things, Void Bastards, which is a game I very much enjoy.
Yes, Void Bastards is great.
That's brilliant.
I'm not a fan of roguelikes, not particularly.
Oh, okay.
So I was quite surprised with how much I enjoyed Void Bastards, actually.
Yeah.
I think my problem with roguelikes has always been that the story is the one you create, and I kind of don't always mesh with that. So games like Terraria, Minecraft, Binding of Isaac, those kind of games where you have to make the story yourselves. They don't kind
sea
of
Thieves. Okay. Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, Sea of Thieves. As you know, I didn't really get on with that.
The ones Holy where you fuck, is Sea of Thieves a roguelike?
No, but it is the game you...
No, of course it isn't.
...make your own story in.
Yeah, no, yeah. I was just thinking when you die, do you lose everything? You don't, do you? You still keep your levels and stuff?
You keep it, yeah. You keep it.
Yeah.
They're not taking away my pirate art, tell you.
So,
my peg leg.
I was just going to say peg leg.
Sorry, carry on.
So yeah, I was very surprised with how much I enjoyed Void Bastards. It was kind of... It's an interesting mix of a number of things that I really like. So there's an element of BioShock, like some of the game mechanics and some of the way that the game actually plays. You're like, this is very reminiscent of BioShock. And then you can tell there's a very strong influence from Red Dwarf, especially in terms of
holy shit, I'd never thought of that.
In terms of the style of comedy
absolutely.
And what the ships are like, and the little tidbits you pick up along the way. Yeah,
they stole our idea. We talked about a Red Dwarf video game. It's some fuckers.
And it's Void Bastards. I've played Void Bastards,
yeah.
And I was immediately, as soon as I started playing it, immediately drawn by the visual style.
Oh, it's a corker, isn't it?
It looks incredible. But what's really hooked me is the ridiculousness of the mundane objects you've got to go and get. Like, you need to go get a stapler. A printer. Yeah. It's like the most dull office equipment that you've got to go get. And I just find this idea of like this space shooter that has kind of elements of FTL as well, did you not
think?
There
is a lot of FTL.
Big time.
Particularly with the traversal across the universe.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But this idea that what you're actually doing is like going and getting parts for your office equipment is just... like ridiculous.
It's brilliant.
That hooked me. The visual and the ridiculousness of what it is you're doing.
Little cockney enemies, what are they called?
You've got the janitors.
Not them.
The
shorter ones.
The little blob thing.
They're kids. I think the little kids that abuse you, essentially.
I can't remember the name, but yeah, I know which one you're talking about. They're great.
But that I found out recently, the voice actor, I think, is the writer of the game. It's a woman who wrote the story for the game, and she actually did the voice work for a lot of the characters. And
I didn't know that.
I think she's Scottish as well.
Yeah, I think she is. Yeah,
and it was on Giant Bomb over E3. I think
I think she used to write for Rock Paper Shotgun.
Yeah, but like, I just. Void Bastards is a weird one, right? Because I wonder where are we? We're in July now. I wonder in December if this game will crop up on any lists, because I don't really have many complaints about that game.
No, nor do I, actually. It's an enjoyable game. I think it being on Game Pass day one will really help it, because obviously I wouldn't have bought it, I don't think. Not straight away.
I think I'd have been tempted, because like sometimes a visual style can be that striking.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm kind of amazed more games don't go the comic book route. I mean, Crackdown kind of did with Crackdown 3, but this like really embraces everything about like the graphic novel sort of thing, and it's a glorious looking game.
It is great. I think the moment, just to go back to when I think I was hooked on it, was when I died the first time and my character respawned and he was a dwarf. So everything was a lot. All the buttons were further away.
Yes, and it actually really does.
It made
it's
you
not
like
just
3 foot shorter.
Yes,
and it was such an interesting way to go through the game again.
Like one where you've got like a cough.
That was what my second one is.
That's the thing. It's not just a thing that's like, oh, you've got a cough. Your character actually coughs. Like those
and it
traits,
enemies. Yeah.
Yes, they are real traits that actually happen in the game, which I feel is like a step beyond what a lot of games like this do. I thought that's really cool. I mean, Rogue Legacy did similar, but on a different scale, I suppose. And this, like, you know, like you say, the fact you can be reborn as a dwarf and you are actually with a shorter viewpoint. And there is actually the opposite as well. You can be, like, super tall and you can... I think...
Have to crouch your doorways.
Yeah, I think it was more a case of you can see over things without jumping sort of thing. It's just a great game, that
is. It's a lot of fun.
It is. Before we get to questions this week, I just want to quickly bring up something of Super Mario Maker 2, because obviously I'm still loving that game, but now it's out properly in everyone's hand and it's not just playing with other reviewers. I'm a bit worried about this game's future, because Super Mario Maker 2 is probably one of my favourite games this year, and everything they've added to it I'm just in love with. The problem is, I think the curation for the level uploads is really bad. Like, you upload a level and it doesn't get played. And sure, creating a level is fun. Of course it is. You know the creation is the experience as well. But you go to look at your level 24 hours later and it's been played by like 3 people, if you're lucky.
I think it's one of those ones where the levels... The only time I've ever seen people with successful levels on it, I've not played it, I should probably stress that, is it when they've tweeted about it and it's something hilarious or something really
difficult. And that's the thing, though. So, like, if you've got an audience or a reach on Twitter, great, you're going to get an experience where you can at least be sure to get someone play your level. Not everyone has that.
No.
And I'm a little bit worried that I'm seeing, like, people in our community who are uploading the levels, and I'm uploading levels, and, like, we're not massively broadcasting and publishing them on YouTube or on the site. We're just kind of sharing them between each other. And you get, like, those sort of plays of the people in the community who are playing it, but it doesn't feel like anyone's even seeing them. And I was watching a video that suggests that apparently... So there's, like, different sections. There's, like, hot courses, highest rated or whatever. You can narrow your search, but one of the tabs as well is like new courses. Mm-hmm. And if you upload your course, it doesn't go into the new courses because apparently so many people are playing it and so many people are uploading courses that the queue, as it were, for showing new games is like 24 hours behind.
Wow.
So I don't know what they do, but like I'm really enjoy. I don't create usually in terms of like Little Big Planet. I don't know if you guys do. I've never been the guy. I'm the one who plays everyone else's creations.
I've never been very good at it. I don't really have the patience for it, I don't think.
No, I mean, it's one of the reasons why... Well, aside from the fact I'm absolutely garbage at platformers, it's one of the reasons why I'm a bit... it's of no interest to me at all. I did play Little Big Planet, but I played other people's levels. I didn't even think about trying to make my own level. I just had no desire to do it. And there's something similar with that Dreams as well. I'm intrigued by Dreams. I'm very intrigued by Dreams. But I also, the thing that's making me like reticent to try it in now is that I just don't think that I would use the creation tools. And it seems to me that that's a significant part of that game. So
the thing is, though, I think that Mario Maker is different because whereas Dreams, whereas even Little Big Planet have lots of different rules that you have to kind of learn, you know how to play a Mario game.
Well, I don't.
You know what I... You know what I mean,
like
though.
Like
you know the rules
yes,
of Mario,
of course, yeah.
And everyone kind of does. It's kind of a shared. If you play games, it's a shared knowledge. So everyone can make them and not feel like I don't know. This just feels too complicated. You can draw some ground, put a jump, put a mushroom in a block, and put a flag at the end. But if no one's playing those levels,
You kind of think, why am I doing it?
Why am I going to bother? So I've now reverted back to type, which is just playing. And I'm playing some of these levels going, these are fucking shit. Like, and I'm not being like, mine are so good. Mine are decent, but not brilliant. But I'm playing some of these going, how are these getting like 40,000 plays and getting surfaced? And mine that I really was, you know, there was a level that basically someone called test, don't know why I'm doing this, wondering if it unlocks stuff, and it was just literally run from left to right and there's a flag, and that's appearing in my feed, in my curated queue as it were, while the level I uploaded that I spent 2 hours making has been played by 46 people or whatever. Like
I think that's always kind of what happens with these things, like when the Assassin's Creed Odyssey story mode
creator
came out. I think the most played one was one which gave you thousands of XP straight away without doing anything.
Yes, but that doesn't work in Mario. There's nothing to unlock via playing. I know what you're saying, because Little Big Planet as well is like, you know, play this to unlock all the achievements kind of thing. Like, yeah, there's nothing like that in here. Like, the level creation, the reward is the level creation. Like, there's nothing.
It's like social media, Adam. Right. Yeah. Do you know, I mean, obviously, I can't relate to what you're saying in terms of Mario Maker specifically. But it's like me, you know how I regularly have a bit of a, like, I can't believe this is happening, I'm just, like, feeling whatever. Because, you know, in like, Assassin's Creed Odyssey...
I know what you're getting at now.
Yeah, I like to take pictures. I like to take screenshots, you know, and I spend a bit of time getting the right composition and this, that, and the other, and they get put onto the map.
That's right.
And I'll see some other photograph that somebody's taken that's clearly they've just taken a snap. You know, they haven't done any composition at all, and it's got like tens of thousands of likes, and mine. That I think is pretty damn good. It's got like six.
But not just you, because I remember that now. I'd forgotten all that. You even said, let's be honest, which one? And we all were like, well, yours are far better. They've like, there's composition involved. You've taken the time. And the other person, like you say, just had gone Xbox share or whatever, you know. And I'm not saying they shouldn't. Of course they should. Everyone should do whatever they want all the time, essentially, just to be safe. But like... Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe we should just all be fucking like lazy and not bother, and then we'll get.
It's like, well, how does that work? Because that.
Yeah, I don't know.
That kind of, not they don't wind me up, but I do get a little bit like, how the hell has this got so many likes? It's not good.
See, I wonder if someone with a very big, vast, social profile shares it, because. For some reason, SoundCloud like sent me a notification on my phone. I was like, I forgot I had a SoundCloud account, and I remember, oh yeah, I uploaded some of my old band's stuff up there, as well as like some just like old God is a Geek theme tunes, and I think people know like I did the video gamer podcast theme tune, and like so that was up there if people want it. And I was just going through my stuff and going, whoa. So all of these have got, I don't share stuff on there, so it's kind of, it's not private, but it's not, I've never publicised any of it. So they're all at like 80 views or that. And then suddenly one song that I wrote and recorded with my band or over a decade ago has like 1,500 listens. And I look at this and I'm like, how? So did someone somehow stumble across it? And I wonder if that's it. I wonder if that's how it works. Someone with a vast following stumbles across it, shares it, and that, you know, you get the... I don't know. But yeah, Mario Maker 2, essentially, I am concerned about the curation... And I do think Nintendo need to step in and do something, because at the moment they're removing my incentive for creation.
Can you like tag levels then?
You can tag them with two of nine tags. So for example, you can tag it as themed and nice and simple or whatever it's called, or speed run. And this is the other thing, right? There is a tag, because one of the things that happened with the first game that got really out of hand is that people made auto run levels, right? And that is basically a level, if you don't know, where you click into it and you don't touch a control, and they're fucking genius. Like they've made it so that all the things in Mario work together to basically send Mario from the start all the way around a puzzly maze to the end without you touching an input. Super clever, but it became all you'd see. And it's like, but I actually want to play it. I've seen 200 of these now, and yeah, they're really clever, but I want to play it. So they've added like an auto run or auto Mario, I can't remember, tag. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to have a look at them. And I clicked it, I searched specifically for those, and the first four levels I tried weren't auto levels. You had to input, and it's like, so how do you police that? I don't know how you police that.
I don't think you can, to be honest.
I don't think you can either. You have to hope that everyone who plays it hits the boo button and...
Yeah,
but I don't know how many boos gets a level hidden or.
It definitely sounds like it's community curation, and to be honest, community curation doesn't often work, does it? No, it doesn't.
Oh well, listen, anyway, let's get onto some listener correspondence. And Nicola, we'll ask you this one first. Thomas at LlamaFluff42 says, "What's the shortest period of time that you've owned a game for, and why?" It's not an easy question, I don't think.
I don't know, because. I'm so tight with my cash that I feel like... It, does he mean, like, you've bought a game and you've just gone,
yeah, and
nope,
just sold it back or something,
and
or
sold
traded
it
back. Straight in.
See,
the problem for me answering
that.
This one is that I have a very bad memory and I can barely remember the last generation, and I kind of went all digital this generation, so it doesn't. Do you know what? I can kind of answer it. My son got a Switch for Christmas, and he got Just Dance with it, and we sold it instantly.
Nice.
Fair enough. So that'll work.
That's a good one, yeah.
Oh, I shit, suppose... did we sell it, or is it now still upstairs? I think we meant to sell it and forgot. I'm going to say I sold it.
Yeah.
Ryan, do you have one?
I don't know.
Dark Souls on the Xbox 360, I think, was one that controversially I didn't get on with.
Ryan, hand in your gamer badge now.
I know. I should say I have gone back since and played it, and I do actually like it. But at the time, I wasn't into it, because I think I was going and expecting a different game. But
it's a good thing you said that, because this would have been the Dark Souls of podcasts otherwise, wouldn't it? And nobody wants that.
Because I hadn't played Demon's Souls, so I wasn't sure what it was. And that, well, anyway, I bought it and traded it.
I'd argue that wouldn't have helped you. I'd argue that you could play Demon's Souls and still not know what it is.
Yeah, I bought it and then wasn't gelling with it, and I sold it the next day. So
I said it's a good answer that will anger people, but listen, he importantly said he did get it back and played it since.
And I really love Bloodborne. Bloodborne's fantastic.
Well,
so.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know. Sorry, Thomas, I don't know how to answer it. I've got plenty of games that I've put on and like gone within the first minute.
Speaking of which, Nicola, not to call you out on the podcast, but how far have you played of Breath of the Wild out of interest?
Oh, don't.
Yes, that's what I thought. This is the Dark Souls of podcast now.
I've played about 6 hours. It's not like I've I've kind of got sidetracked. I forgot about my Switch for a while, to be honest, Adam. I did too, in honesty.
I lent mine out for a while.
Wow. Yeah. Lending a console out is an incredibly trustworthy thing to do.
I know. I got it back. That's great. But
thank Christ for that.
And I finished Breath of the Wild after about 70 hours. But there was a time where for 6 months I lent it to someone. I didn't have it.
I will say, this isn't the question, but if there was a single game... No, I'm going to... Hey, I'm writing the question. I'm going to say... I'm going to make it up as I go along. If there were two games I could erase... No, three games I could erase from my mind forever and then have to play them for the first time again, it would be Breath of the Wild and The Witcher 2 and 3 and Mario Odyssey. Four games. If there were four games,
no.
I could wipe from my... Thomas wants to know, this is just a quick one. Go back to you for this, Nicola. Should indecisive people be allowed in the subway? Oh, no, hang on. In Subway, I think he means.
Does
a restaurant.
He mean like the sandwich place?
He means a sandwich shop.
Yeah, so not, I think it makes more sense.
I'm going to say, yes, they should, because
good.
I'm one of those people. Sorry, Thomas. Again, apologies. Apologies.
I can't believe Thomas
that.
Is gatekeeping Subway like
I
this.
I know. It's an outrage.
Is that
yeah,
a joke? Can I make that joke? I'm just not sure I've said
I'm
it now.
I'm the one, I'm sorry, but I am the one who kind of goes, they'll go, do you want, which bread do you want? And I'll go,
but is that not because kind of all of the bread's a bit awful?
What have you got? Honey oat?
Okay.
I'll have a honey oat.
I tend to go for Italian and then wonder why I have.
I don't go into Subway that often,
normally.
You see. Yeah, I don't go in, so it's not like I know what I want, like the menu, like the back of my hand. It's often like, ooh.
Do you know, the last time I went into Subway, I went in, my wife was at work, and I thought, you know, we've got a Subway in town. Why not? You know, so we went in there, and we all had footlongs, because, listen, we're growing boys. Well, they are. I probably topped out a little while ago, but that's not the point. We all had footlongs. Yeah, the shrinking man. We all had footlongs, and, you know, the cashier sort of goes like, and I think it's like £25 or something. And I walked out the shop and went, yeah, that's the thing. And I walked out the shop and went,
I've been mugged.
Wait a minute. Have I just paid double and I've never been back since? Because I think I paid for three footlongs, but they charged me for six. So, yeah. Ryan, should indecisive people be allowed in Subway?
I'm not sure.
Oh, fence sitter.
Oh, good one. Good one, Ryan.
Of course they should.
Really?
Yeah.
What about people who walk really slowly when you're in town and they're right in front of you?
Oh, and slow walking is a different kettle of fish, though.
I mean, all right, let me rephrase it. If someone's like walking really slowly in front of you and you want to get around them, but you can't because they're sort of just taking up all the space, should you be allowed to just kick them in the back?
Perhaps not that extremely, but I think it should be okay. Socially acceptable to shout at
I find really loudly. Sighing loudly works.
How loud a sigh are we talking?
Pretty loud. Just like...
How close are you to them? Are you like right on their shoulder whispering in their ear like, I'm going to kill you.
Get out of the way.
But you can identify with it, right? Just someone really like properly ambling down the road. And you're like,
only
on.
Bothers me when I'm like, you know, running late for something.
I work See, in the middle of quite a busy city, as you know.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of tourists outside my work. And it's constantly trying to get into work and they're just in the way. So yeah, I get that one.
But I'm kind of one of these people that if I'm going from A to B, I want to get to B. And if I get there, if I get to B early and I sit down and wait, fine. But I want the journey is not the fun part. I want to get from A to B. And that means that kind of everyone's going slower than me.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking real irritable person when I'm out and about because I find... I got asked the other day, do you know what? She was lovely, so I'm not going to complain about it, but... One of the perils of being tall is this lady just turned around to me and she just looks at me and I'm with my wife. We were getting ice cream, as I say, you know, grown lads. And she just looked at me and goes, oh, you're lovely and tall, aren't you? And I just went, I'm tall. Yeah, she goes, you couldn't see if there's any, and I think it was like latte flavoured Ben and Jerry's or something. No, I don't know what it was, latte flavoured something at the top there. And I went, yeah, I'll have a look for you. And my wife's quite short compared to me anyway. And I just, you know, there wasn't any. And it's not a particularly interesting story, but I did appreciate you're lovely and tall, aren't you? Because I think she's assumed a lot. I am lovely, but she's assumed a lot. But there wasn't any. They were out of the latte ice cream, and I felt somehow responsible for that, so I went home feeling a bit sad. Because honestly, I hadn't seen that latte ice cream, and then I wanted it, and because I do like a coffee ice cream. I do. Matt King says, at Kinger underscore 8938, he says, How do you decide what platform to buy a game on? It used to be whatever platform would look the best, but I just bought Crash Team Racing on Switch solely because I need something to do while Love Island takes over our one TV every evening. How do you decide? We're all people who own all platforms.
I decide on which platform, like if it's going to be like a co-op game or a multiplayer game, it will be on the basis of who of my friends are getting it on which platform. So that's the first decision. If it is a single player game, it's often for me, because I'm an idiot, like I would choose it, like let's say it's part of a series of games.
Oh God, I'm going to agree with you on this, Nicola.
I would play it on the same console that I've played it previously. So for example, when Mass Effect Andromeda came out, because I'd played Mass Effect on
Xbox 360.
On Xbox 360, I felt like I had to play it on the Xbox. 100%
with you.
Red Dead Redemption 2, more recently, I had to play it on Xbox because I played the original on 360. So there's that kind of weirdness. So it's dependent on where my friends are playing. And also dependent on... But
hang
if
on,
it's
here's a
brand new game, brand new IP...
Oh, good point.
So I don't
here's
know.
One for you, right?
I don't know, actually. I'm not that... I'm not really that...
I go Xbox One X if it...
I haven't got... I've got a base PS4 and I've got an Xbox One S. And...
I would
still
go.
I think I have a set formula of sorts.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get. If it's a game that I really want to play and it looks good and I'm not I don't really play multiplayer often, so it's always Xbox One X for me. PlayStation is mostly exclusives, or if there's a really good deal on a game on it that I've not played yet. Switch is for anything that I can play on the train home to visit family. That's where that usually goes. So kart races like Crash Team Racers. Crash Team Racing
would be in a very different game.
It would. Crash Team Racing on. I bought that on the Switch as well because I was playing that on the train. Civilization 6 I've got on the Switch because I was playing that on the train.
Wait, what? Civ 6 came to Switch.
What?
Yeah, I've got that on the Switch.
I missed
How
that.
How does it run on Switch?
It runs pretty well, to be fair.
Fine, yeah.
Wow.
I have a question for you. So back to what Nicholas said about, like, so I'm the same. Like, I wondered if I was, like, with Andromeda, if I would have enjoyed it more if I'd been on Xbox, which is such a stupid thing. But it, I just wondered. In our profession here, sometimes the code comes in and the code is the code.
Mm.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, it just, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Do you feel weird or like you're betraying something?
Yes, yep. Adam, yes. Okay. Can I tell you two examples of two games that I have reviewed?
I can guess one of them. Guess. I bet I can guess one.
Go, Assassin's Creed. No.
Assassin's Creed. No. Okay. No. What was Andromeda? I know that was Was it PS4?
I've played it on both PS4. No, I didn't review Andromeda. I didn't review that.
Did
that
you?
Was Chris White. No, I did.
Oh, no, no, that's right.
I did a guide, I think, for
that's
it, if I remember rightly.
Yeah.
But
that's right, you
gave
Xbox,
me. You gave me a disc, actually. It was a disc Andromeda, and it was on PS4. I was like, well, I've already bought it on Xbox.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Because
I
played Mass Effect on Xbox. Two games that I have reviewed that I felt like they were the code came in for the wrong platform.
Yep, yep.
Titanfall 2.
Oh, absolutely.
Should have been on Xbox, Adam. I'm still
raging. Absolutely. No, I agree with you. Absolutely. Might have changed its fortunes.
And the last Wolfenstein, the new Colossus, the other one on Xbox, and I was like, I'm not happy about this on PS4.
No, it's a weird thing, because it proves that no one's a fanboy, because it doesn't matter what format it's on, it's as long as it's the one that sits right with you at the time.
For me, I'm
Xbox One X, by the way, and I started to enjoy the Switch more recently.
Yeah.
I some evenings I've just been sat there with the Switch in my hand and I'm like, yeah, I'm playing an old game, and it's I've started to get that thing of why people want everything on Switch. This won't make people happy. I hope they do announce a new Switch that a bit like the PS4 Pro, like the Xbox One X. I hope that we get the Switch Pro. I really do. So it doesn't, you know, divide the player base, because it's the same console, but it just can push games a bit harder. You know? I hope we get that. I don't know if we will.
We might.
David Ayres, this could go well. I don't think this is going to go as well as the biscuit question. I think the idea of all three of us agreeing on a favourite flavour of crisps is difficult, but he wants to know, what's your favourite flavour of crisps? It's such a broad question, because there are so many choices now.
It depends on the brand. Surely.
It depends on the type of crisp as well.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
What I mean.
I mean,
let's talk
base. Kettlebell.
If we're talking kettle, I reckon we can all agree on the yellow packet.
Which one's that one again? Is that the cheddar?
Maybe not.
Vintage cheddar.
The cheddar, yes, yeah, and onion, I think it is.
See, I quite like the sea salt and the black pepper in a kettle.
I won't go against you. I mean, I don't think I'd turn down a kettle chip.
No, God, no.
I think my favourite kettle one is actually the bacon and maple syrup one.
I've only had them once.
I haven't tried them.
That's the pink packet, isn't it?
That's the pink one, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's talk. I mean, I'm old enough to say Golden Wonder, but let's not go there, because they had the colours correct for a start with the cheese and onion and the salt and vinegar. But let's not go there. If you're talking modern, let's just say Walkers, because they're kind of generic.
If you're getting into a Walker sensation, though, Adam.
No. We're talking. You've gone in and they are part of a meal. You've gone into Tesco, which is a supermarket, and you're getting a meal deal, and you got your drink, you got your sandwich, and you're going to grab a bag of Walkers. But this Tesco has every flavour of them.
Ooh.
Right. See, I'm a big fan of a Walker's cheese and onion.
Okay.
A big fan of a Worcester sauce.
Oh, I didn't think another. Yep.
Big fan.
Yep.
I don't know. See, the problem I have with crisps now, right, is like strong flavours like Worcester sauce, prawn cocktail, they kind of hurt my tongue. Now, because I've got this disorder where I don't produce much saliva in my mouth, really strong, sharp flavours like that tend to hurt my tongue. So as much as I like them, I can't really eat them, if you know what I mean.
I'm going to just say prawn cocktail Walkers.
See,
I'm just going to out there
Walkers,
and say it.
Prawn cocktail used to be my favourite flavour of crisps, but I can no longer eat them. because they hurt my tongue.
Oh, no, I suppose I was going to say, what about Pringles prawn cocktail? Because I think they're a little less sharp.
No. Oof, no.
I'm going to say prawn cocktail for Walkers. Ryan?
Okay.
They used to do barbecue rib. I don't know if they still do it.
Oh, wow, yeah.
It was in a black packet.
Black packet, yeah.
And that was by far my favourite flavour of crisps, especially Walkers.
I can't actually remember the flavour. I'm going to suggest a couple of packets of crisps that I've had recently. And they are, when you look at the bag, you're like, yeah, they don't look like they'd be amazing. So there is a new, I think it's called Walker's Max Strength.
Right.
And I did tweet the picture of these a while ago. They've got chicken wing, spicy chicken wing flavour. They are dangerous. and they are very hot. And I would also say the cheddar cheese and jalapeno ones.
I think I've had the spicy chicken wings one, actually, because they're always on offer in supermarkets. So
yeah, they're like a pound for a bag, aren't they?
They're all right. Like, they're good with a beer. They're good with a beer.
Yeah, well, it actually says that on the packet, by the way.
Yep.
It actually says good with a beer. But here's the other one. I can't remember the brand. I think it's McCoy's. Okay.
Oh.
And it is called curry flake. They are like chip shop curry.
Oh, no, I've not tried them. Chip
shop curry. And they are, do you remember the old fish and chips crisps that were like... They're literally in the shape of fish and chips.
Yes.
These are in the shape of like a chip, and they're crinkle cut, and they are curry, chip shop curry. And they are, like, we tried them because I was like, yeah, let's try them. And the bag was gone. Like, my kids and I and my wife, who's not even a big crisp fan, my God, they were just ravaged. they do like a salt and vinegar flavour as well, and I'm a big fan of salt and vinegar, but every time you look at them you're like, yeah, but them curry ones are so good. I mean, the answer is to buy one of each, but what we did is just bought two of the curry ones, so it didn't work. I don't know how I'm going to buy the salt and vinegar ones, but yeah. I don't know, is there any other flavour of I do like a prawn cocktail Pringles, but we're not talking about Pringles because Pringles chat is banned on this podcast.
Takes me back.
I'm sorry I said
PTSD.
It really.
PTSD from them.
Understandable.
See, I'm a big share bag fan.
Absolutely.
So I quite like the Walker Sensations.
The chili ones?
I really like the Thai sweet chili. Delicious. Yeah, so is the vintage cheddar and onion. Delicious.
Not had them.
The chicken and... Is it tarragon ones? They are really nice, but they kind of leave a bit of a... horrid aftertaste, but they've got a really strong aftertaste.
They really hurt the roof of my mouth, those ones.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, I don't know why. But
I tell you what, though, they go down well with a nice glass of wine, them buggers.
the Sensations Peking spare rib crackers are really good.
Do a lime and something.
Yes,
one.
They do.
Oh my God, they're amazing.
Okay. Last question this week. Dane has asked, rank your favourite Star Wars in Mario Maker 2, best or worst. I'm guessing this is just for me.
It's just for you.
It won't be for me.
Okay. Quite simply, we're going to go World, Original, Mario Brothers 3, and then we're going to go Mario 3D World. Okay, that's it. Simple. That's it. Done. Mario World.
So 3D World's your worst?
I mean, yeah, but... kind of by default, like I like all four styles, but mostly because I like in the game with the other three, you can just switch between them while you're making a level, and sometimes you go, actually, this works better as this, whereas you can't do that with Mario 3D World because that is like a separate thing within the game. So, but that is it. Thank you very much for your questions. Thank you very much for listening. You can go to patreon.com/godisgeek and for $1 a month get this podcast early. This week, not quite as early because we're hot on the seat of our pants, but normally early. And you can also get early access to videos. We give away lots of codes on there. It's worth $1 a month, we think. Nicola, thank you for being here as well, obviously.
You're welcome.
Ryan, do you want to pimp your Twitter out? Because you've changed it recently and I can't remember it.
My Twitter is at RLSGLA.
Because it was something else before, but I can't remember. Well, no, I do remember what it was, but I won't broadcast that.
Yes, it's different now.
Yes.
Yes.
But thank you very much, mate. It's been lovely having you on the podcast again.
It's been great to be back. Thank you.
And everyone else, go follow him. Ryan's a lovely man. And he's been in or around God is a Geek for a long, long time. And we miss him. But here he is. So thank you, Ryan. Nicola, do you want to pimp your Twitter while my dog barks outside the door? which hopefully hasn't been picked up by the mic.
My Twitter is at wavy_grayvy on both of those. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And of course, follow at God is a Geek. And if you do have a moment to spare and you listen to the podcast every week, and we don't ask you anything of you other than to listen, really. If you don't want to be a patron, that's fine. But if you do enjoy the podcast, then you could just review and rate us in iTunes or whatever podcast app you use. That helps our visibility immensely and brings us to new listeners potentially. And why would you not want to share the love? Thank you very much for listening, and we will speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye bye for now.